Hi, Daff.
Hello. I guess I should take off my shoes because these are especially tap dancing shoes.
We all know how that is.
It's been a hot minute since we recorded, so we're sorry. We apologize. We really are trying to do better, and then puppies happen, and life has happened, and you don't really care, again, but we are trying to do better, for reals. Okay,
what's for your reals, disturbing? We're trying to do better, but keep your expectations low.
Yeah, don't expect much of us.
Right.
What's your disturbing fact?
Okay, my disturbing fact is about how life sucks now.
Oh.
Not our lives in general, not yours and mine, even though probably maybe, but
I'm like, what?
No, about how technology is just fucking ruining everything. Like, it makes our lives better and it makes our lives easier.
Like that commercial we watched, or that, not the commercial. We were watching the new Fear Factor on TV the other day. There's a new Fear Factor. If you haven't checked it out, it's pretty great. And they were showing the simulation for the last thing. And you were like, not this, not that. And I said, it's the AI for me.
Yeah.
Like that.
It's the AI. Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly where I was going with it. That technology makes our lives easier in some ways, but in a lot of ways, it's fucked up our lives.
Most ways.
Yeah. Like when we were little kids.
Not most ways, but yes, here and there.
In a lot of ways. It improves life's problems, but it also amplifies life's other problems. So say we're going to sit down and watch TV, right? Well, half of the room will be on their phones while we're watching TV and then not have any idea what just fucking happened. And the other half of the room is laughing or going, oh my gosh, look, that's crazy. And then the half of the room that was on their phone, we have to be like, rewind it or explain what happened because they're not paying attention. Or if you're sitting together hanging out and like, oh, let's hang out, but we're on our phones. Or
when you go to dinner and everyone at the table's on their phone and not paying attention to each other.
When I was a little kid, you went out and played. There was no real like watching. There wasn't like playing video games on your TV. There wasn't like a VR headset so you could virtually pretend to be outside playing. You actually had to go outside and play. And yeah, it's those sort of things that like when that you went on a date with somebody, you actually had to have a conversation and not just fucking be on your phones.
That show that I'm watching that I told you that is My Life with the Walter Boys. Mm-hmm. I mean, I enjoy it, but the acting kind of sucks. But I enjoy it. Anyway, the family has a rule, no phones at the table.
I like it. However,
breakfast, lunch, dinner, doesn't matter what time of day it is. You know, if they're sitting there to eat a meal, no phones.
To be fair, when we sit at the table, most of the time, nobody has their phone.
Yeah.
Or we have them, but we only use it to like reference something. Like if we're having a conversation, then we're like, wait, let me look this up. I'll show you what I'm talking about. That kind of thing. But also not only like just in our personal lives and stuff, but like technology is just so rampant, like in our work lives and stuff. And so you're looking at every single different piece of information, or like you're using this piece of equipment, you're doing this and doing that. And so it feels like you're being more productive because you got a lot of shit going on, but you're not actually being more productive because you're just spreading yourself thinner, if that makes sense.
Information overload.
Information overload.
You sitting with your technology in your lap getting ready to say something. So why don't you say what you're going to say and I'll stop cutting you off.
I'm saying it.
Oh, about just the information overload and that technology's ruining people's social skills. And
yeah, that our social skills are not so great. That our social interaction isn't so great. Our family time isn't so great. Our going outside and doing stuff, like doing it for real instead of virtually, just a lot of things. And so I think, you know, I think definitely also that it contributes to obesity.
Yeah.
Because people aren't active.
Well, you should pull up a stat about that.
Okay, paused and didn't really find a statistic about it. But what I did find is that screen time encourages mindless eating. So you're just sitting there chowing down on crap while you're on your phone, like you're not actually enjoying it. And then food becomes like background behavior, like how we have background noise, how I'm always like, I have to have background noise because I have ADD. And if it's quiet and I'm doing stuff, it seems like it's taking me 4 hours when it's really only been 7 minutes.
Right.
So I need to have background noise. But in the eating part of it, food becomes like background noise because you're not really paying attention. You're just eating,
mindlessly
eating. And then also...
That's so sad. I totally feel that because last night I was perfectly satiated when I went to bed and I knew I was going to want something a little salty later. So I grabbed myself a snack to have for saltiness while I was in bed last night.
I.e. my Cheetos that you got me that...
No, it wasn't. I actually got some salami and some cheese.
Oh, that's a way good choice, though, to be honest.
Yeah, but then I brought those dark chocolate cherry jewels, a couple of them, to bed, and then I ate a couple of those, and then I took a couple of cheese puffs because I'm sitting there just watching TV.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Needed something for my mouth to do instead of just keeping it closed.
Right, instead of just watching. And then also...
And watching Best... Or playing Best Fiends while I'm watching, because I love Best Fiends.
Example.
I wish that they were sponsoring this episode, but they're not.
Daphne's a true life case study for my disturbing fact here.
But actually, like, it's really sad.
And then also the whole, you know, screen time and all that before bed fucks with your melatonin, and so you don't sleep well. And then when you don't sleep well, not sleeping well actually...
Sucks.
Besides that, but it actually increases a hormone. Let me see what it's called. The hormone is called something. I can't pronounce it, but I'll just try.
Let me see.
It's GHRELIN. Ghrelin.
Ghrelin.
Ghrelin. I'm grilling. Sure. Instead of chilling, I'm grilling.
I saw this video that I actually LOL'd at so fucking hard earlier. This guy came up to this group of girls and he's like,
case study 101 right here. I watched a video.
He said, are you a Bratz girl or a Barbie girl? And then this girl said, I'm a barbecue.
All righty then.
It made me laugh so fucking, like, barbecue food.
Yes, I understand what barbecue is.
Fucking hilarious.
I guess
okay.
You had to be there.
You had to watch the video? Correct, I guess. I don't know. If you follow me on TikTok, I reshared it.
For those four people that
I have like 106 followers on TikTok. Thank you.
You go, girl.
I have like a quarter of what we have on our channel.
Any hoodles. So poor sleep increases that
ghrelin. Ghrelin.
Yeah, I'm mad.
Ghrelin.
Increases the ghrelin, which is a hunger hormone, which increases your cravings for sugar and fat.
Oh, shocker.
So yeah, it's all kind of fucked up. And then obviously eating a lot of sugar and fat fucks with your insulin resistance. So it's a big old...
It's just all downhill.
Fucking so... It's a big, bad circle of doom. Is what I'm saying.
Circle of doom.
Circle of doom. So there okay. You go. That's my disturbing fact.
Thank you.
Technology. Except for when we need it and want it.
Technology is dick.
Technology is dick. Technology is amazing. Technology is a life ruiner.
Yeah.
That's my summary.
Nice. Yes. Good, good, good in good ways, bad in bad ways.
Yes.
The best of the best and the worst of the worst.
That is so good way to put it. So good way.
That is such a good way to put it. There yeah, you go.
English is, you know.
Meh. Hit or miss. Speaking of technology being dick, today's case is about dick. Okay. Evelyn Dick.
I'm like, oh gosh, that's a different podcast.
Right? That's not for this ship. That's not for this channel.
For this ship?
For this show. Oh. That's what I was going to say. Or this ship. Yeah. Those things all. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Okay. Evelyn Dick. You ready?
I'm ready.
She was born Evelyn McLean on October 13th, 1920 in Beamsville, Ontario. Okay. And this one was hard to find a lot on. So this is going to be a real shoddy, except for the disturbing fact might have taken us 68 years, something like that.
A long
anyway,
ass time.
A long time. Okay. Her parents were Scottish immigrants. Yes. Her parents were Donald and Alexandra. A year after she was born, they moved to Hamilton, Ontario. So Donald, he was an abusive alcoholic. He collected guns. I know. Sounds like another Donald. Collected guns. And he was a streetcar conductor at the Hamilton Street Railway. And he stole, in his time working there, about $200,000 from the business.
Wow, he's solid.
Yeah.
Don't you want your railway conductor to be drunk?
Right. Totally. It's a great idea for the person who's driving the train to be fucked up. Right. Literally train going off the tracks.
Yep.
The McLeans lived like well beyond their means. And Evelyn went to the Loretto Academy, which was a Catholic girls' school.
Okay.
So Evelyn was said to be very attractive, and her mom like really leaned into her attractiveness and encouraged her to use her looks to seduce men into buying her nice things. And she had a knack for attracting wealthy men. And apparently I saw a source that said that she had about 150 men do these nice things for her.
Wow. I'm like just over here biting my, because I'm like, wow, that's some not solid parenting.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Hey, Daphne, go be hot. And get people to buy you things.
Yeah. Great.
It's a great choice. Yeah. Although if I was hot, I would get people to buy me things, but I'm not. So here we are.
Here we are, thingless.
Here I am, thingless.
Although I have a nice 50 men.
Yeah, I have a nice computer, though.
You do.
So I have a nice thing.
But it wasn't bought for you by a man that you seduced.
No, it was bought for me by my father for school. Right. The thought of education seduced my father into buying my computer for me.
That is it.
That is actually 100% true.
Right. But I'm glad you don't have 150 men, because we wouldn't want to have a neon sign outside your bedroom door.
Correct.
Next.
Leave the goods here. She's in there. Also, I was going to say, one source also said that she used not only did they give her things, they gave her money too, right? Used to make a down payment for a house, which is going to come in later.
Cool.
So when Evelyn was 22, she had a baby who I guess one source said she gave to her mom to raise. Then she had another baby, which the pregnancy ended in a stillbirth.
Aww, that's
and sad. Then she had a third baby at 24, which she named him Peter. And there's some differing reports here. OK, one that she gave him up for adoption because her dad didn't want to have another baby in the house. There were other reports that she just left the baby at the hospital, like to get put up for adoption.
Okay, cool.
So, yeah, baby Peter.
Okay, poor Peter. Or maybe not.
Right, getting raised by her.
Yeah, and the parents.
So, a year later, in the summer of 1945, she met John Dick. He was 15 years older than her, and she thought that he could give her a great life. But she didn't realize that he didn't actually have a ton of money. And he wasn't actually as well off as he presented himself to be.
Bummer for the gold digger.
Exactly. So John Dick, he was born in 1906 in Halberstadt, Russia. His family moved to Ontario in 1924. And they were German-speaking Mennonites that were fleeing from the Russian Revolution.
Okay.
Then in the 1940s, he moved to Hamilton for work, where in 1943, he landed a job with the Hamilton Street Railway as a bus and streetcar driver, which obviously is how they met because her dad works there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then she met him there. She told him she was a widow of a Canadian naval officer named White.
She told him she was a widow?
Yeah.
But she's not, right?
That we know of.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Maybe she just said that because she has kids.
But whoever the White is, was mm-hmm. Peter's dad. That okay. person was Peter's dad because his name was Peter David White, the little baby. I just didn't know that was super relevant, so I didn't include it.
Okay.
But well, Peter David White.
Was she really married to this guy?
No, she wasn't really, unless it happened super undercovers, because it's not. She told him that she was, but I mean, it was probably just her baby daddy that she was just trying to come off as sympathetic.
Okay.
That he had died fighting in World War II. After just a few weeks of dating John Dick, they were engaged. Evelyn's parents didn't approve of the marriage, probably because he worked at the same place as Donald. So they're like, you know, he doesn't have the money rolling in like he should.
Right.
So they're like, don't marry this one.
They're like, you can do better, gold digger.
Right.
We have raised you differently.
We have raised you better than this.
We have raised you to dig deeper.
Yeah. So they didn't go to their wedding. That happened on October 4th, 1945.
The drama.
Yeah. They're like, you could have done better.
Right. He's not rich. We're not coming.
Right. So as soon as she realized that he couldn't provide for her lavish lifestyle, she left him and she began an affair with a man named Bill Bohuzuk. Bohuzuk? I don't know, something like that. Bill. Anyway, John was like, what the fuck? I think we can really make this work. So he convinced her to move into a house that she paid for. And
some money she got from one of her 150 suitors.
Yes, exactly.
We'll call them and suitors she to did. Be polite.
She moved into the house, but she didn't stop seeing Bill. And she had several other boyfriends. So eventually this was a deal breaker for John.
Huh, weird.
As I'm sure you could imagine. Right. He's like, move back home with me, stop seeing Bill. And then she's like, okay, I'll move into this house that I'll buy for us. But I'm not going to stop seeing Bill and I'm going to adopt a few other boyfriends. I mean, take on a few other sugar daddies, whatever. Anyway, yeah.
But you're welcome to stay in my house, John.
right? He moved out of his and Evelyn's home because the deed was in her name, right? She bought it, so he had to leave.
Mm-hmm.
He then went to her dad, Donald, and was like, make your daughter be a better wife, blah, 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 blah.
But he didn't want him to marry him in the first place, so I feel like that probably
didn't go too well.
Fell on deaf ears, let's say that.
Yeah, so Donald, though it didn't fall on deaf ears, Donald was like, what the fuck? Then John was like, what the fuck? And if you don't help me, I'm going to blackmail you. And I'm blackmailing you. I'm going to tell the railway about the money that you stole because your daughter told me you stole all this money.
Oh, shit. Loose lips sink ships.
And then Donald was like, if you tell, I'll kill you.
That's fair.
And then John went to the police to report this experience.
Ditches, snitches get stitches.
Yeah. Right. So mind you, we're 6 months.
Or buried in ditches.
Yeah, that too. That too. Yeah. Buried in ditches is more accurate. If you can see where this is already headed.
Let me guess.
So yeah, John went to the police though and told them about what had happened, right? He's mm-hmm. like, he stole all this money and then he threatened to kill me.
Wow.
Then John was last seen alive in a restaurant on March 6th, 1946. So he's reported missing, right? After this, because people are like, where is he? He didn't show up for work.
Mm-hmm.
People that care about him, his cousin, I think he went to go live with his cousin. And then his cousin was like, he hasn't come home and he's not at Evelyn's. I can tell you that. let me already pre-guess. He's not there.
Pre-guess.
Anyway. So, you know, we're talking a six month time frame, right? Married October 4th, missing March 6th. Very quick that all this is unfolding.
Very quick.
So then 10 days later from the last time he was seen alive, March 16th, 5 local kids were hiking along the Hamilton Mountain where they found a human torso with 2 gunshot wounds in the chest.
Hmm.
Let me guess. Let all of us guess.
All right. I wonder who it could be.
Who do these remains belong to? Bum, bum, bum. John Dick.
We surveyed 100 people and right. 3 of them got it right.
After hearing the whole case. But they clearly weren't listening to the story that John was the one who was last seen. Pathologist Dr. William Deadman. Isn't that a great name?
That's an excellent name for a pathologist.
Yeah.
I feel like he was predestined to go into that field.
He's like, Deadman? Okay. I guess like, we have a lineage of this.
Right. I guess this is what I have to do.
Right.
My choices are limited.
I need to stop saying right.
Funeral director, coroner,
pathologist.
Yeah. Gravedigger.
Yeah. Gravedigger.
Hitman.
I like that one too. he said the bullet holes in the torso were very superficial. Wouldn't have killed him.
Superficial bullet wounds?
That they weren't going to kill him.
Okay. No, I understand
they
that.
They still got him, but they weren't deadly.
They weren't deadly. Okay.
So Evelyn was, of course, questioned, but she denied knowing anything.
Uh-huh.
Naturally.
Shocking.
And investigators, of course, searched her house and her parents' house. And in the parents' attic, they found a suitcase that had concrete encased remains in it.
Hmm.
So those remains were later identified as belonging to her son, Peter.
Oh, my God.
The infant who she said that she had left behind, put it for adoption, whatever.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay. I did not see that coming. And I was going to say that if you kill somebody, you shouldn't leave their remains in your house, regardless of whether they're in fucking concrete or just a Ziploc bag. But I did not see it coming that it was going to be Peter.
Yeah.
God, I hate these people.
Yeah, these people kind of suck.
Yeah, a lot.
Like, badly.
Yeah, a lot.
So, further searches of the McLean house, McLean, something like that. It's McLean.
Okay. M-A-C?
M-A-C.
Okay,
Mac. Yeah, not Mick.
Mac.
McLean. Okay. Turned up charred human bones. So, they burned John's body, just in case you didn't see that coming.
Okay.
And a little bit of clothing from a railway uniform.
Hmm.
And the pathologist also said that John's cause of death likely was a gunshot wound to the head, something that couldn't be proven as it was burned along with his limbs.
Hmm.
However, a .32 caliber 5-shot handgun was used to murder John Dick.
Okay.
They think, you know, he was shot in the head.
Uh-huh.
And was later found at the McLean household.
These people are not only terrible, but they're stupid.
Yeah. They also uncovered a car with blood-stained seats and a necktie that was also identified as belonging to John Dick.
Jeez.
So not only are they bad people, they also can't cover their tracks very well.
Yeah, they're dumb.
No pun intended, since they work at a railway.
Yeah, stupid as shit.
So Evelyn, her parents, and her boyfriend, Bill, were all charged with John's murder. Evelyn and Bill were also charged with the killing of baby Peter. And Donald was charged with stealing from his work.
Oh.
As well.
Finally.
Yeah, they proved it.
Okay.
So Evelyn then, of course, you know, proceeds.
Although that's the fucking least of it.
Literally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would be less worried about the 200K, except for that, you know, they're a corporation. So that's all they care about. They don't care that they have an accessory or a murderer on their hands.
They just want their money.
They just want their money back.
Yeah. Which I bet they didn't get.
I'm not sure.
I don't know. Restitution.
I'm sure it didn't happen. Evelyn then proceeded, of course, to, you know, play games with the police. She's like, oh, yeah, he was killed by an Italian gangster. Or, yeah, he was a mafia hit. Another, like, just crazy, wild fucking accusations of shit that could have potentially happened to him. Yeah. Even though they literally were like, huh, this was a gunshot that he had from this gun specifically. This gun is in this house. Huh.
Hmm. Also, his charred remains
were in the house.
Bloodstained car.
Were in the driveway.
And his clothes.
I don't know if the car was actually in the driveway.
Probably.
Probably was, yeah.
It was recovered from their garage.
Right. Evelyn's attorney fought to have her tried separately from her boyfriend and her parents in hopes that she would appear as, you know, this hot girl who couldn't have potentially done anything wrong. Like, there ain't no way she could do any wrong. She's just a sweet little innocent perfect angel, you know?
Not a money-grubbing, murdering whore.
Correct.
Okay.
So Alexandra, her mother, agreed to testify against her and for the royal crown, whatever, the Canadian crown, against her daughter in return for her own immunity. She's like, I encourage you to live this life, but now I'm throwing you under the fucking bus. You fucked up.
Right? I'm not at all surprised.
Yeah, me neither.
You're on your own.
Yeah, sounds like something she would do.
I raised you to be a piece of shit. You got caught being a piece of shit.
Yo-yo. And now
I'm throwing you under the... YOLO. Yeah.
No, not YOLO. Yo-yo.
Yo-yo. You're on your own.
Yon-yon. That's what we say in our house when...
we're having leftovers.
Yeah, when we have leftovers or nobody's cooking for somebody else. Yo-yo. Yon-yon. Yep. Figure out your own dinner. So she stated that Evelyn had been absent from the house for a prolonged period of time on March 6th, right?
Mm-hmm.
The day he was last seen at the restaurant. And Alexandra also said that on March 8th, she asked Evelyn, she's like, hey, I haven't seen him snooping around here lately. Something happened to John Dick. He's been reported missing. Like, what's going on? She's like, Evelyn was like, oh, yeah, he won't be coming around anymore. Alexandra is also testified that her husband owned a handgun and a large butcher's knife.
Okay, so she's throwing everybody under the bus.
Yeah, she's like, butcher knife could have hacked up a body. Handgun could have killed said body.
Right, murder weapon owned by husband.
Correct. So although the evidence was mostly circumstantial in the case, unfortunately, she was found guilty by the jury for the murder of John Dick. The judge sentenced her to death, but her attorneys later on had very successful appeals. Her case was taken over by John J. Robinette, who must have been taken up with her because he jumped in because he was a great lawyer. Like, how such a skilled lawyer wanted to take over for her, I'm not positive.
Hot girl.
Yeah. He was apparently famous also because he just defended some really shitty people in one.
Okay.
So he, like I said, got it appealed. And then he told the jury that there was a strong possibility, right, that it could have been Donald that killed Dick.
Like, could have been.
Could have been. This time, they found her not guilty.
That's a stretch.
Yeah.
I feel like if nothing else, she had to be an accessory.
Yeah. So Donald was found guilty of being an accessory to murder, and he was sentenced to 5 years in prison.
Oh, big long
He
sentence.
Also received an additional 5 years for stealing from his work.
Okay, so the same fucking penalty for stealing as accessory to murder. Accessory. Yeah. Say word, scale.
Accessory. Accessory. I think accessory is probably okay, too. It just sounds funny.
It does. Okay.
I feel like anyway, people probably do say it like
that. I guess no matter what you do, you just get 5 years.
Yeah. Okay. No matter what the crime is. Sounds 5 years.
5 years.
Bill was cleared of all charges. I don't think he actually had anything to do with anything. He was just sleeping with a horrible person and funding her lifestyle.
Okay.
In the trial Peter, basically, John J. Robinette, he brought in a psychiatrist who testified that Evelyn had endured a traumatic childhood. Yeah, does sound like it.
Although.
And that she had the emotional maturity of a 13-year-old.
Hmm.
Yeah. So the jury found her guilty of manslaughter for killing her baby.
Okay.
And
5 years?
Life in prison.
Oh, okay. That's good. That's
more better. She only served 11 years before she was paroled in 1958. She got a new identity and then she was pardoned in 1985. Her record is permanently sealed.
Hmm.
And she has vanished into thin air.
She's probably dead.
She probably is dead by this point. Oh, definitely. Actually, she'd have to be 106 years old if she was still alive.
Well, that could be a thing.
It could be. But so there's like been movies made after her. Her case is called the torso murder or the torso killing, something like that. Torso something or another.
Okay.
But yeah, that's what I was saying. It was like really hard to find anything. All the sources said almost the exact same stuff. Like there were little differences tweaked here and there, right? Of like, did she give the baby up for adoption? Did she leave the baby behind?
No, she killed the baby and put it in concrete.
Yeah, and then only got manslaughter for it.
Asshole.
Yep. So that's all I've got today.
Okay.
But her probation officer or parole officer, not probation. Mm-hmm. Parole officer, like, totally upheld her anonymity, which is so sad because, like, Carla Homolka, we all know who she is.
Yep.
We all know where she lives.
Right.
And she has fucking kids. Wild.
Yeah.
But they did a good job of actually, like, upholding this bitch's anonymity.
That's so
bullshit.
Yeah. And yeah. Yeah. So many things.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a.
She could have used men for good.
Instead, she used it for bad. She used it for her good.
She did use it for her good.
Yeah.
I don't disagree that sometimes maybe we should use men the way that they use us. But maybe like not like this.
But maybe not like this.
Maybe like buy you a drink or oysters on the half shell. I don't know.
Right. Or buy you a house.
Yeah. That's even better. I would like a man to buy me a house. Thank you. No, I'll buy my own house one day. It'll be awesome.
It will be awesome.
Because I did it myself.
Mm, yep.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Evelyn Dick. You didn't do that.
Yeah. You're a big old
bitch.
Yep.
All right. Well, that's all I've got.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
I told you it was short. And there's very little information. But at the same time, there was a lot of information.
I was going to say this was only 2 pages long.
Yeah.
And it's crazy.
Yeah. I'm like, it was definitely jam-packed.
It was a fully loaded two-page
case. It was like one
case.
Of those little cans you open and that giant snake comes out.
Exactly. Yes. Thank you. One of those fireworks.
Sure.
Yeah.
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 Okay. Well, thank you.
Yeah. Oh, you've turned it to me. Follow us on Instagram at That's Disturbing Podcast. We have case requests actually coming up.
Yes,
we have a Casey request.
Yes, we do.
And we have a Michael request, which we'll say in the episodes when they come. Whose is whose? Which is which?
Right? Wow, that's great.
But we have two of them. It's pretty exciting.
It's very exciting.
The vampire one I did for Vienna was also a case request for Vienna because I just said that like 38 times. But you can follow us on Instagram. That's Disturbing Podcast. At That's Disturbing Podcast. I don't know what I'm doing with my life. Or send us a Gmail. That's Disturbing Podcast. gmail.com. Bye-bye.